I believe that wealth corrupts us all. Yes, I do.
It's a keystone of the movement.
Oh, God, I know all about the movement.
If the peasants had money, they wouldn't surround themselves as we do, with footmen costing 10 rubles a month.
No, they'd spend it on drink and whores.
Valentin Fedorovich.
What do you think?
Tea.
You think that 50 years from now people will eat while grown men walk around waiting on them hand and foot?
I think that's good. Bless you.
Stop scribbling. You all think he's Christ, don't you? He thinks he's Christ.
I'm not... I don't believe Lev Nikolaevich is Christ. Christ is Christ, but...
But what?
I do believe he's one of the prophets. God speaks through him. I recognise the cadence in his voice.
Oh, God, this is unbearable. No wonder I feel lonely. I'm surrounded by morons.
Oh, you're being...
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to...
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damon.
And this is Douglas.
And England have gone home.
Oh yes, we must mention the sad news. Spain is heading home.
We didn't have
World Cup.
We didn't have our podcast last week.
It was that sad. It was that depressing that I fucked up the podcast
on purpose.
So the two subjects that
on
we
the podcast.
Subjects are going home: English and Spanish.
And tomorrow, the Italians.
Yep. Tomorrow's the last
Absolutely.
Day of an England match I can watch for a while. Because who watches international friendlies?
First of all, England don't play football. The day after the England match, the Stuff You Should Know guys put out a podcast about football. And I was this close to sending it to Andrew.
Because you know I don't listen to that.
Yeah, can you send this to Roy Hodgson,
please? Of course, I'm in an office and people like to make jokes. And what they don't realize about me is that I will make the worst jokes about myself before they do. So I just start England jokes. Like even today, a small one. They were watching Brazil and I was going like, God damn it, Cameroon didn't knock them out because in my head I wanted... I didn't think it could happen.
Yeah,
I just
wanted
that reality to occur. Okay. Right?
Want to watch Brazil be on fire.
And they looked at me and they're like, Andrew, how many goals did England score again? Alright, two. I'm like, no, you're wrong. England scored 1.5 because that Rooney goal still don't count as a full goal.
Yeah,
it was barely a goal.
Yeah, Rooney still don't have a proper goal. Like, someone was teasing me about Argentina. I'm like, Messi has scored the same amount of goals England has scored. And they've won their group. So I don't know what you guys are. Alright. And watching the World Cup, like the only team that anybody is showing any respect is Argentina. Like there's 11 men behind the ball for the two matches that nobody is attacking.
But
you.
However, let's be clear, right? However, the teams you're playing aren't the top tier teams. Right? I'm not saying they're bad.
Costa Rica.
Right? I'm not saying they're bad teams
hard.
And not teams that will get results on occasion. Mm-hmm. But they're the type of teams where they see Argentina in their group, they pick the Argentina match to put 11 men behind the ball.
No, we're not playing this game. We remember what happened the last time we tried this. Yeah, we play Messi like a normal person. Oh, it's 8 love? Nope.
But you know what? I just remembered, Damien. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Oh, right.
It's not the Unnamed World Cup Podcast.
We are the official podcast of the World Cup.
And this week, I've gotten you guys together to talk
about...
To
watch Brazil!
Brazil!
All right. Back to football for a second. Since you guys did it to me. Do you think Brazil will make it more than one more match?
Yeah.
More than two? More than two?
Brazil will probably get to the final.
I don't think
home field advantage. I don't think it's going to happen. But it can, because there's 100 million Brazilians
who are going to murder
cheering
them
for them. And
yeah.
To
be fair, Andrew, even when they fuck up, they still end up winning somehow.
Because the refs are going to be
exactly. Look at the Croatia match where it should have ended 3-1 Croatia, and yet somehow Brazil defeated them 3-1.
There's no somehow.
You know what, guys?
Honorary Brazilian referee.
Even look at today's match, right? clearly Brazil was winning anyway. But that third goal was bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
But anyways, I will not be challenged again. This is the Ordinary Woman podcast. And I've brought you guys together.
That is Andrew. I am Damien. That is Douglas. And today we're going to be serious.
We're going to be serious.
Talking about movies.
We're going to be talking about this movie directed by Teller, of Penn and Teller, entitled Tim's Vermeer.
Sometimes when I'm trying to get to sleep, all I can think about is trying to paint a Vermeer, who some consider the greatest painter of all time. At the face of it, that seems almost impossible, because I'm not a painter. I'm a computer graphics guy, and we use technology to make a realistic, beautiful image.
Tim and I have been friends for a really long time.
I know Douglas hates this movie. I haven't yet decided what your viewpoint on it is. But I adore this movie.
Okay.
First of all, before we get any further, I did always have an affinity for Penn and Teller. Fair I know enough. They're cheesy, and I know their magic isn't anything remarkable, but I always liked them, and I was always into magic when I was young, and then
you're going to need to edit that into the podcast.
And then when I like to think that doves can fly out my hands. Anyways,
I like magic. Word.
And so first of all, I saw this movie with no idea of what it was really, other than Teller directed it, and I was like, oh, I wonder what this is about. Mm-hmm. And it's about this guy Tim Jennison, who I had no clue who he was.
No shit.
He's apparently this inventor and entrepreneur.
He's real smart.
Right, he's a really smart dude who knows
stupid rich
everything about electronics and computers. And he's used all of this intelligence to make himself a bag of money, to the point where he is like, I don't need to actually do work anymore, so I'm just going to do whatever I want. Yep. And his decision in this project that this film is really about is him wanting to recreate, or at the very least, discover how he believes Johannes Vermeer, a famous Dutch artist from like 3 centuries ago, yeah, or more, I'm bad at math, did his paintings, because it's something that's baffled the world ever since he painted.
When you say the world, that makes it so like a lot of people have spent a lot of time.
No, let's be clear here.
They're like,
let's forget whatever story Dino is going to talk about. And let's just let everybody know here that when you start a sentence with the world, you need to end it with cop.
Yeah. Okay. We are not shifting to football again.
Like, the world doesn't give a shit how any of these paintings are done.
Cop.
They're like 19 people. You're an idiot. They're like 19 art people that are like, how did he do that? And the rest of the world going, what the fuck are you lunatics talking? X-ray paintings.
What? Yeah, so there's this artist, he does paintings, it's amazing, and everyone doesn't understand how he really did it. And this one guy, Tim Jensen, is like, I'm going to figure this out. And this movie is about him figuring it out, and then eventually going so far as to decide to try and prove his theory of how he did it by recreating one of Vermeer's paintings. And we follow him throughout this journey. And I love this movie for so many reasons. I think the top of the list, which I think the movie actually directly mentions it, is how it discusses this idea of art and science, right? Mm-hmm. I am a computer scientist. Douglas studied mathematics at school.
Scientist. You just call yourself a scientist. I'm a computer scientist too.
I'm sorry, what?
I am.
Uh-huh.
You're an account scientist.
What are you people talking about?
We basically,
what science are you talking about?
The science of computers. Listen, I know that whenever a computer's not working, mm-hmm, you press control, halt, and delete.
No, so fire.
Fire?
When two computers meet and don't use protection,
then they get computer viruses. Yes.
That's the only sense. Yes.
Right. So we are all people who have kind of, who while we do this podcast and talk about movies and pretend to, yes, I am going down this road and I'm not taking your chances. while we do this podcast and we talk about art and we really talk about how we like art and we don't really that often go into these deep feelings about it. We, as professions, have gone into very linear, very straightforward professions about truth, right? Where everything is yes or no. It's never maybe that much.
There's a maybe, I'm going to be fired.
And art, which is this thing which we're talking about, including in the film, is this thing which is all about, I did it, it's done, I don't give a shit, right? It is what it is, and you guys can love it or hate it, but you can't take away the fact that it's art, right? And
unless we burn it. Burn all the art. Hashtag burn all the art. Damien 2016.
2016.
When is our elections?
It's whenever they say it.
Right. Oh yeah, that's
how it works.
That is how it works. Tomorrow.
I guess we have to go out and vote.
Or not. Or hide in my house until it's over.
And Tim Jensen decides to take a very scientific approach to art in attempting to deconstruct what is going on here and recreate it. And I enjoy it for the fact that it brings about this conversation about not keeping these things separate, which is something I talk about specifically, but bringing them together. We talk about movies so often where we get into the actual technology side of it. So often we will just break off. Like when 3D started becoming a thing and we started to talk about what they were doing with the cameras, when Blu-rays were coming out and they were doing restorations of films, we were reading up and finding out how this was actually possible. Because I mean, I remember the first time I asked you the question, I was like, so I know I'm dumb and I want to know the answer, like, how do we get old movies which look like shit to look like what they're doing on Blu-ray? Because I imagine that it still looks like shit, right? And then we figured out
I'm sorry, movie science.
And I mean, there's so many other elements of filming, of movies and art that is all based on technology. We could even go so far as to say the idea, the actual conception of paint itself is technology, right? And an advancement in science which made art better. And this movie, I feel more than any other, starts to make people understand that many things in life that we kind of separate as being yin and yang are actually things which overlap and kind of complement each other continuously in life and in the progression of time. And I love this movie for it. I love this movie even more because as a software developer, I've always said in every interview anyone asks me, like, what are my strengths and why do I like software developing and doing computer programming and such, I'm like, because I'm barely a software developer, I'm a problem solver. You give me a project which is an idea, a problem, and I am going to look at it like a puzzle and I'm going to try and piece it together to the end result, which is the application you're getting. And this movie, more than any other, was literally that. He came to us with a project. He wanted to do the Vermeer painting. And we get to watch his process as he goes from step A to B all the way to the end of the line when he has the final painting at the end. And there's so many points in it where I can remember how I would go through a project where I would be like, where even he will go and there's a point where they just have it as a throwaway line. He spent a month learning Dutch so he could go to the Netherlands and talk to people. And I'm like, that's probably a good step. Where you see him building the room, right? And you kind of get this feel more than the following point, which is actual painting, which gets very monotonous and tedious. But at the same time, I understand it as the problem solver, as someone who's putting pieces together, that when you're in a moment, it can become tedious. But even with the building the room, you kind of watch it and you're like, you can imagine how angry he is that he has to do this part, but at the same time he does it knowing that he requires it for the next piece of the puzzle to kind of move forward and to get the project completed. And it was just a really fun look into someone else's process in getting a puzzle solved, right? And I really enjoyed it for that, because I never felt at any point in time within the movie where I was left out of the process. And I just find it fascinating. And as I've always said with all sorts of characters and all sorts of films that we talk about, at the end of the day, if you let a smart person sit down and just talk to you straight as to what's happening, I will listen and I will be entranced. Which is why I get fucking annoyed when you go to presentations and it's all PowerPoint. Mm. Fuck PowerPoint.
Oh, dear.
But before I get to Damien, which yes. I'm considering the wild card since I still don't know how he feels, I want to hear Douglas's vitriol at watching paint dry for 80
Douglas
minutes.
Douglas has a t-shirt on, FTM.
He's like, where's the book?
So, first of all, first and foremost, can we please talk about this guy just shamelessly plugging his awesomeness?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of his program, but he essentially built his wealth by doing a bunch of things and then parlaying it into creating this kind of
he makes the
graphic design.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that one. I'm like, I know that. I remember hearing about that for years.
That's a program?
That's a different one.
Okay.
Videos.
But he makes like a video 3D animation sort of program.
Everybody who's anybody. How's that tri-class?
Okay. Anyway, so he makes... Let's call this program, I don't know, Light Squared.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And they tell you, this is one of the things that he made a little bit earlier in the movie. And then maybe 15 minutes later, he's like, so, I was, you know, going to model my new room in my Light Squared. Yeah. Da, 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 da. And I was just like, fuck you.
You fucking fuck. You rich fuck.
Look guys, let's make this clear. If in another year or so I end up making a piece of software which makes podcasting the easiest thing, more easier than it is right now.
You make $1 trillion.
I make $1 trillion off
every day.
Every
come on this
week
podcast.
We do this podcast. Just to let you know guys, I'm using this podcast using Andrew's podcasting routine.com.
Yeah.
You shill. You worthless, worthless shit.
I'm right with it.
Soulless. What an art for the kids.
Okay, so let me see if I can try and get my bias out of the way. Right, because guess
I
what?
I love this city.
I do not like Penn and Teller.
Right?
But how much Penn and Teller was there? Because there was most of the Penn moments, he was talking directly about Tim.
First
Jennison.
Off, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Penn and Teller's name are attached. Second off, I hear Penn about 100% of the time. You know why? Because he's a narrator.
Yeah.
Right?
He didn't narrate that.
Yes, he did.
So, he's there all the time. Right? And
what about Tello?
He was there in one scene. And, of course, Penn, every once in a while, most of the time, you know, he narrates like a normal narrator. But every once in a while, he does that sort of Penn uber... cheesy, not quite funny sort of bullshit. But whatever. Let's try and get past it. That is a bias that I know I really shouldn't bring into the conversation. So let's push it aside. With that pushed aside, Andrew, this is like a PBS special. This is like something that you watch for extra credit in an art history course. Right?
Art history.
Who took art history in your room? Raise your hands. Who took art history?
Actually, I took an art history course
once.
Fuck
you guys.
But...
I had to.
Yeah, gen eds, right? Or at least that's what we call them. So, Andrew, this movie, I'm not saying it's bad, right? But it's nowhere near good. This movie is just a conduit for information. Right? And I think that's why I have this bias, just like how Damien in particular, I think I have a bit of this bias as well, but in particular Damien hates horrors. Right? And there's whatever reason for that. I kind of have that bias as well for documentaries in a sense. You know, there are documentaries that I love, but I think you probably have to try a little bit harder to get me on your bandwagon. And it's because of movies like this, where there's nothing wrong with it, right? Like, if you made me watch it for a class, or if for some reason I was flipping through cable and there was nothing else to watch, and I sat down, I'd watch it, I'd maybe sit down there for a while and say, oh, that's interesting, he's painting a painting. But there's...
like if our tech website that you visited condensed this into like 50 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. This movie is easily condensable into like a 10-minute side note. Because a lot of what... This movie just draws out a few simple facts. Right? Johannes Vermeer, awesome. Nobody knows how the fuck he did it. I'm gonna try and figure it out. I invented a mirror. And then I did it. That's really all this movie is. Right? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
I'm not trying to belittle what he achieved.
Exactly, because that is amazing.
That is incredible.
And based on the actually very unsubtle information put out on the screen, we know it took him a very long time. This is a big chunk of his life that he devoted to this.
And his children's life.
And
that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having a father that rich? You're off on summer break and he's like, sit down.
Put your head in
your ear and do not move.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding? I'll take you to the wheel. Alright. Sit here forever. You tyrannical bastard.
Yep.
I'm making art.
So Damien. Damien.
Mm-hmm.
How fast are you going to do that?
Oh god, listen.
Alright, see?
Listen to me. But I'm not doing it for the reason. He's doing it. Because he genuinely thinks he's achieving something.
Like you're going to do it.
Fuck with people.
And then at the end of the 3 months of our summer holiday, you show a stick figure.
Yeah. It's good. And this is what he's like. I knew it.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, at the end of the day, this movie is just information to me. As I said, I don't want to belittle it because it's a fantastic achievement. You know, you look at the painting, the end product, mm-hmm. and you're just like, yeah, dude.
All right, well done.
Yeah, you know. But
doing work.
I didn't need to spend, was it an hour and a half?
It was 80 minutes.
Yeah. I didn't need to spend 80 minutes with
looking
that,
at this.
You know? Damien, what did you think?
I actually am way more on Andrew's side.
Oh, yeah?
Way. I enjoyed the movie. But much like, kind of like most documentaries, it is not what the movie gave me. It's like the things that I brought to the movie and things that surround the document, like the information that they're shooting at me. Like, they didn't try even for a second to do anything special with how they filmed this.
Yeah, it's nothing visual about it other than the art itself.
They made no attempt to, you know, engage visually with this movie. They're just like, this is the shot. Look at these old people talk.
I mean, it was kind of funny, like towards the end when he was doing the painting itself, that they had, it was, I'm sure they had to try really hard to find the moments where he would stop and make a joke to the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where like he would talk about the little story about him and the inner, the heater inside. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, is this gonna be safe?
Yeah, I don't know. Kill myself because although I'm very smart, also real stupid. Real stupid. So I did art because of course.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes, you are the black Goku.
Yeah, like a yes. Let's not talk about that. Less said about that, the better.
I think that's what I'll log in and I'll change your Twitter name.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Is there a story about this?
You don't know the black Goku?
That is funny and embarrassing.
Well, I don't think it's funny as much as it's a reminder of our high school selves.
Right, it's a reminder that when I was 13, instead of, you know, reading books and, you know, learning real shit, I went, I like cartoon men fighting each other, and I'm going to learn to use Apache web server to build a goddamn... Hey, Dreamweaver looks fun. Let me build this website.
And
wait... This
and what happened after you did that?
I was entered into a contest for fan sites for Dragon Ball Z. I did not win. The dude what won was flown to Japan to Funimation Studios and got a lot of shit. I didn't get the flight too. I just got all the shit. So I have cassettes, because we still use cassettes then.
Yep.
Because fuck it. I think it was 4 boxes of tapes. Every single Dragon Ball Z episode, all the movies, none of them were in English, because why would they be? I don't need English. I read perfect Japanese. I don't know if I told you this. I think even they realize no one cares what the story is. Everyone is going to. I'll say fast forward, but that is not what happened with tapes.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing fast about it. You forwarded. There's nothing fast about it. It's fucking terrible. And then I spent even more of the little money I had at 13 to buy a device what is about as big as that TV. And the device, what it did was take VCRs and turn them into ones and zeros for your computer. Now, you remember how ripping CDs was a long-ass process? Try ripping a tape. I'll say the video was like, if, you know, whatever the standard below SD is, the videos came up to me. And then, using Jamaica's blazing fast internet, mm-hmm. I then uploaded, let's say, 400 episodes back up to the internet. And I remember my phone bill for those months being like $1 trillion.
Because we were still playing per kilobit at that point.
It was this close to my parents going, you know what? We're never using the internet. So yeah, dumb things happened. No, I'll never build a website again because that's just horrible mess.
So I know the middle part of that story. Yeah. I know that you got taped for some reason and you watch it like a crazy person.
Trillions of times.
I don't know why, and I did not know the end product.
Dabla Goku, of course. Because why not?
It'd be awesome if I could go there now.
It's not on archive.com, thank God. Whatever God is on, please, thank you. No one will ever find it. And whoever owns that domain, feel free.
You don't have the source code anymore. No. I think Soccer Jersey has an idea now.
Oh, God.
Anyways, you were talking about...
What's the first thing in that search?
First thing.
The first suggestion.
Yeah, good luck with
it. So I shall click it.
And hope.
It won't be my site, I can tell you that. Because that computer, I don't even know if that computer is in a box anywhere.
Da Black Goku.
Yes, just
welcome to the official website.
Of course.
Da Black Goku.
Sure, shit's not mine. Right. And so, I used to draw a lot. I enjoyed art for a long time until fifth form.
I know that story.
It's not a terrible story. And watching this guy who never painted before essentially trace out this image and work it out in his head, that was fascinating. Watching him spend like a year painting one picture, again, is fascinating. And I realized while watching the movie that it takes a certain type of person. I understand now why so many smart people paint and do art, because it has all the things that smart people need in order to be smart. You need dedication, you need repetition, and you need discipline. If you're going to be good at anything, schoolwork or literally anything. And so you saw like the one-to-one, right? Oh yeah, that makes sense. If you spend a year painting something, you're going to get better at painting by the end of it, even if you were shitty to begin with. After a year of doing this one thing every day, sure, you're going to get good. And this guy is really smart. He came up with this method and seeing all of that. The thing though is, this movie is like an hour too long. Like, it is like, explaining who the guy was is necessary. Explaining who Vermeer was, explaining who Tim is, explaining who Vermeer is, all of that is necessary. You didn't need to take the first 20 minutes of the movie. That is unnecessary.
But
watching him
threw up in his hand.
Yeah, and going into space, that's terrific. Him visiting all these places, the bit with the queen, all of that is unnecessary. The thing that I enjoyed most about the movie is not actually him painting. It is watching someone that has everything essentially waste his life on something stupid. It took him 6 years from start to finish, right? Just building this set, which is like, that part is the part where I went, oh, that's what you do when you literally run out of shit to do. This man has enough money. He could have paid a production team
to do it in like
a month.
To build
this shit in like a day. They'd be in and out. Stat. He wouldn't even believe how quickly production people can get shit done. He's like, you know what? No. You don't have jack shit to do. I don't know how to build ceilings and any of that.
I don't know how to make glass.
So here what? I'm going to take this program I developed. And billions of dollars in 3D printing equipment.
Remember many years ago when I was a lot younger and stupider, and I told you I was going to do a computer programming only so that I could have my name on the list of people who worked on FIFA.
Right.
And you said that would be the day when you liked FIFA at fire.
Yeah,
right? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
If I ever do that, I'll come on here and be like, as a podcaster, I'm going to use FIFA.
Yes. FIFA powers. The FIFA engine is what powers the Odd Name Movie Podcast. Just watching this dude take millions of dollars in equipment. Do you know how expensive those laser printers that he has cost?
Did you see the moment when he decided, I could buy a bigger thing, or I could chop this in half and widen it?
Why is he doing it? This is what you do? You become a recluse. You're like, I have everything I want. I've been to space. I have all the money in the world. They didn't show his wife at one time because she was busy doing shit. It's like, since this youth is a lunar, I'm just going to spend money way over here, somewhere far from this mad youth. I'm not, like, just watching this and going, this is sad. It really doesn't matter how much money you have. Your life is... Like, we were talking about it in the missing podcast. Like, no matter who you are, like, if you're going to tell someone's life story, guess what? No matter what you've done,
but you see,
your life is boring.
Here is the thing, right?
This dude proves it. Like, he went to space. Think about this.
No, no.
He created a thing that makes 3D images on film, and that took him to space, and then after all that, you'd be like, oh, so the rest of his life is just going to be awesome. He's just going to do crazy and just keep ramping up shit. He's like, no, I'm going to take 6 years, paint this fucking picture. Oh, your life sucks. Oh, sad.
You see, here, like, I don't even see it that way, right? Like, I see the tedium, and I see like watching paint dry as a nice little joke of what this movie is. But at the same time, when they're sitting down and they're explaining to me and they're talking me through this, I'm 1,000% interested and invested, and I know that on paper,
look,
writing this down, this is a boring series of events.
Andrew, I don't want you to get me wrong. I fully understand and grasp and appreciate just how crazy and insane this dude is. And I know that what he's done is incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both what he's done in the movie and what he did beforehand. And we need more people like this. We need really smart people in order to push this world forward. I watched the documentary on CERN, the people that found the Higgs boson, right? Boringest documentary that has ever been made, because it is literally the smartest people in the world. And in order to get that smart, and in order to dedicate you in your life to do something like this, you have no personality. You can't. You're reading books non-stop every day and working out shit that you can't really... listening to them trying to explain what they were doing. Remember, these are the smartest guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't tell, you know, a director in human language what it is they're doing, because they haven't spoken regular language in years. They're the smartest people, but they're boring as shit. But I'm still fascinated, and I'm glad that people like that exist. It just makes for unfun television. Like,
the reasons I enjoy this movie has really nothing to do with the movie. Would you have equal amounts of enjoyment if this was another episode of This American Life?
Yeah.
That is what this, like, I enjoy it, but it's like, I understand where Douglas is coming from, and if they had done it that way, like the way Douglas wanted it, I don't think it would have diminished anything about it. That being said, like, I still appreciate the movie. It's not, if you go into this documentary and think it's going to be wonderful or whatever, you may come back out on the other side being very disappointed.
Because there's actually another documentary this year that I kind of compare it to, and I compare it in the sense of crazy people that are kind of boring on page, but somehow in their craziness and just seeing what they do with their time, it fascinates me. And it's the documentary for the, why can't, the Gran Turismo dude.
Yeah.
Right?
I forced my sister to watch the documentary.
What's it called?
Kaz, Some Another The Divide. And my sister walked, like, after it was finished. It's not even like a long one, it's like 45 minutes or something like that. And my sister,
1.5 hours. I watched
whatever it was. Yeah. Don't remember.
For you, it's 45 minutes. Because
I enjoyed every second. My sister got up after that and she's like, "The fuck? Why did you make me watch? No, he likes cars. Holy shit, dude." like, alright, fine. Yeah, he likes cars so much that he makes digital cars, and you lunatics fight. He is the most fascinating man in the world, Damien. Now can I watch something else? Understand, right? On the face of it, it's boring. It is not, what's the...
Interesting?
No.
Jerk.
Cinematic.
Jerk.
It is not the act of killing.
It's interesting. Yeah.
It's not the act of killing.
You know what is interesting? What? What's going to be interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Transformers opening weekend.
Oh! You're gonna need that. It is not the act of killing, which is magic. That documentary is magic. It is not that.
Yeah.
But we can get a lot of those.
So essentially,
it's one of these.
This documentary was about as good as How to Train Your Dragon's opening week.
I'm spectacular. All right, fine. Congratulations. Both of our movies got beaten by things like,
oh my goodness,
I hate everything about this month. I want this month to be over now.
David, imagine, this is me doing my Brazil imagination, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine if Transformers do poorly.
Listen to me, I know people here in this country that pirate everything under the sun. That are waiting for Transformers to drop.
Andrew, do you not remember? Listen, me and Andrew went to a couple of movies recently, and every time the Transformer trailer comes out. Exactly.
Listen, when I see the dragon breathing fire, I went, alright. Michael Bay, you son of a bitch, you got me.
Damon, it's a 4.
I don't know about it.
He makes
all the Transformers trailers are incredible.
With fire.
I understand that. I want you to remember Transformers 2.
I want you to remember Transformers 3.
That movie is a 1. Transformers 2 is the only movie I've ever seen. If I am forced to give it a 1, I'd take whatever punishment.
Still low past 100, right?
Whatever punishment the commissioner gives me, I'd have taken it to give Transformers a 0. That would have been my outfit. That is the worst movie probably ever.
So moving on.
Yes.
Tim Sermier. We all say good things about it, and I ignore Douglas's voice.
Thump approved, right? This is thump approved.
Douglas doesn't count.
Right, we have to give him something, Douglas. He's not watching any more football.
I guess technically he has one more match tomorrow. Right?
So someone put, the best thing I heard about England is, from kickoff to elimination was 5 days and 3 hours.
I saw someone put up a thing.
So
what's the difference between England and a bag of, and a tea bag?
Mm-hmm.
The tea bag stays in the cup longer.
Wow.
England jokes. Let's feel good.
Anyways.
Last week, we recorded an episode which will never be heard because it sounds horrible. And I talked about...
It's funny how Soderbergh episodes...
magically disappear.
Magically disappear.
You know, no. Especially when the group as a whole...
Andrew said one time on a podcast, a million, like he slipped it in. He's like...
Soderbergh
sucks. I'm like, wait, what? It's like,
so,
moving on.
So, alright, to fill you in, alright, a couple of weeks back when we recorded the... I'm trying to remember what episode was on. The one before Soderbergh.
Well, that... You were last week. Was it you or me?
Cause well, this is me, so it's you.
So, Bullhead.
Oh, no, that was... No. We skipped that one.
Oh, we did, right. Yeah. So then...
It would have been me again.
It would have been you. Which was...
Like father, like son.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the last one I released?
I think so.
That was a regular...
Yeah.
Wow, yes.
I like that movie.
I had asked... the question I had asked for the following episode was about period pieces in television being made, and no one responded to that.
Yeah, right.
So, we can skip that. And in last week's episode, I was that you'll never hear, I was asking about comedy sequels, and the internet responded.
Of course they did.
And, of course, I want to, can I say this question is sponsored by the matinee.ca, because this kind of came from like around half year ago when Anchorman 2 was coming out, and I was so excited for Anchorman. I was talking to Ran, and he was like, yeah, but I don't know that many comedy sequels that end up being good. And I'm like, really? Sure? And... now with the weekend of 22 Jump Street, I'm like, let's talk about this. So, Ran, I'm about to respond to you with the internet.
You shouldn't do that.
I shouldn't do that.
That's what Reddit is for, and that's why we don't go there anymore.
So...
Dark place.
I asked people what their favorite comedy sequel is.
Think Like a Man 2.
And the internet came back. Lee Han Solo... decided to respond with Police Academy 2.
Alright.
You guys remember Police Academy?
Alright.
I remember Police Academy as an anamorphous grouping
of Police Academy.
Is it weird that the one that I remember the most is like the latest, the last one I can remember,
the Russia
one? I don't really remember. The rest of them are kind of a blurb to me. Like, just
all those movies are a blur.
They are all awesome. But I love them.
Of course.
At
I grew up in the 90s. I love those movies.
Exactly.
And you just watch them because you know there's that sound effect guy in it.
I haven't seen them since. And I doubt I ever will.
At Sil Awesome Moore responded with Rush Hour 2.
Of course.
Because remember Jackie Chan and...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said that. In last week's podcast.
We found Damien's fake account.
Yep. At Shauna WTF responded with Scary Movie 2, which I mean, I don't want to give people flack because I did word it your favorite.
Damn it.
So I don't really want to give people flack, but that one's special.
Oh my god. Scary movie.
Special kind of special.
At Potat Overload responded with The Naked Gun 22 and a half.
Those movies are great.
Was it 33 and a third?
Yeah, that was the third one.
Mm.
So good.
So good.
So dumb.
Out on the Wild, or at R. David on the Wild, responded with, after a series of lists going like, you guys really want to talk about shitty comedies here, he decided to give a real answer and responded again with Naked Gun 22 and a half. Because Naked Gun... at the Riddler 109 responded with Hot Shots Part 2, because
I think that's the one I said
because of course.
Because isn't there anything better than watching Charlie Sheen play Rambo and having him hit someone in the nuts and they just
does Bearfest count?
Oh.
That's not the sequel.
That's totally
it is a sequel.
Even though that's another thing I was thinking of recently. I was trying to think of comedy troupes or like comedy duos that are doing movies together now, like continuously.
Yeah, there's them.
I was thinking of them, and the only one I always. But they're not recent. I'm thinking of recent.
Okay.
And the only other one I could think of was Ferrell and Riley.
Yeah.
And even them, they haven't done a movie together for a while now, I think.
No, there's
Broken Lizard?
No,
okay. That's Super Troopers.
I know, but that is something like. It's because he said Super Troopers, I thought he was being stupid.
God damn it. The Knocked Up Guys.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I guess, yeah, that's kind of a. It, you know, they're in and out, but yeah.
That's a rotating,
yeah,
that's, yeah. That's a revolving door.
Sandler, I suppose, if you want
Let's
to go,
never
that,
speak
go into
to
that land.
Him ever again.
Yeah.
Can we ignore him?
Yeah,
can we just
pretend
not?
He's dead? That's what I do.
Anyways, moving down the list. At Sales on Films responds with Ghostbusters 2 because
yes.
Ghostbusters. I know people tend to kind of
People don't like that movie,
belittle that movie. But I mean maybe it's because I was the right age.
Even Bill Murray comes out and is like, that movie is fucking horrible. But
like,
yeah.
I don't want to do this because the more of these movies come up, people might think that I'm picking like classic movies or classic series to hate. I've already come out against Star Wars.
Do you not like Ghostbusters?
Do not like any of them.
Not the first one even?
Don't like any of them.
Okay, here's the real...
I didn't like the
here's
cartoons.
Here's the acid test. Stop.
I didn't
here's,
like any of the games.
Here's the acid test. Ghostbusters 2, the video game for Nintendo, was great.
Listen,
we never beat it.
Never, ever beat it.
Yeah, that's how great it was.
But...
No, we just saw
when
the video games.
When did you watch the Ghostbusters movies?
In the 90s.
Oh wow, well.
Yeah, that's too late.
No! What do you mean too late? I was like 8.
Yeah, too late.
Okay, then I'm in 6.
I remember, I had seen Rambo already,
and then I saw Ghostbusters.
I remember actually watching Ghostbusters 2 at the movie theater. I clearly didn't do that for the first one.
I don't remember.
It came out in 1982. But, I don't remember the first time I saw Ghostbusters, the first one. Like, that's one of those movies like that, and Back to the Future, movies like those where I, and Star Wars, where I cannot remember, and Indiana Jones, I don't know when was the first time I watched those movies.
Like,
and that's why
I enjoyed
that's
Back
why
to
I
the
love
Future.
Them so much. You know, because there's so much nostalgia there. You know, and you can just overlook all of its issues because there are many. But
so moving down the list, at Bubba Wheat from Flights, Tights, and Movie Nights responded with a movie I actually think really deserves mentioning: Clerks 2. Clerks 2 was pretty damn good.
The second one, I didn't watch that one properly.
So listen,
but the first
I used to be on board with Clerks 2. I used to be.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it since when it came out. But
watched it not so long ago. Unknown.
Have you watched the first one? Do you like
the
first one?
I still like the first one. The first one is still... Like, you can see that movie was shot and made for $13.
Well, yeah, but it's a comedy, so okay.
And so, when you...
Or it's supposed to be.
When you look at it in, like, through the lens of that, you go, yeah, this is good. And then the second one, you're like... No. The reason I was watching them is because I saw Dogma again, and I went, I love Dogma. Let's watch some more Kevin Smith, and then that backfired real quick. Just, no, I don't know. I fell out of love with Kevin Smith. Maybe it's a cycle.
Maybe. You'll come back to him someday. You'll see Cop Out on
TV,
you'll
come back
and you'll be like,
holy shit, I didn't remember that. Oh my god.
At Movie Bungalow responded with the only classic response on the list, with movies I've never seen. Quoting Vincent Minnelli's Father's Little Dividend of 1951, which is a sequel to 1950 Spencer Tracy film Father of the Bride.
Oh, okay. Is that the original?
I guess.
He's making shit up. Can't fast check that.
By the way, Father of the Bride 2, the Steve Martin thing... No. I'm not talking about a new one. I'm just saying that is a sequel and that movie is awesome.
Yeah. I quite like that movie.
Yeah.
And Marcus Irving quotes Anchorman 2. Because goddamn it, Ryan, Anchorman 2 is pretty good.
I still haven't seen the alternate.
I still haven't seen it either.
I want to see that though.
One day I'll watch
all
it.
All new jokes.
But I'm gonna
sex drive. Can we put that in?
What's that part
two? I don't know.
It's part due to whatever Clark Duke was in before that. But my favorite response comes in Under the Wire by Kyle Turner, who responds with Manderley. Do you guys know what Manderley is?
That's the one with Pierce Brosnan?
Nope. No. You're thinking of The Matador.
Oh.
Manderley is a film directed by one of your favorite directors, Mr. Lars von Trier.
That's
and
it's
the sequel to
name.
Dogville.
That's why I know that name. I went through his list recently. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but comedies.
And then I forced him to respond, and he was like, fuck you, Gremlins 2.
There's no...
You know what I'm saying?
Von Trier can't.
The
he doesn't
internet,
have a funny bone in his body.
Nobody on the internet responded with any of the Pink Panther movies. Because there were
is
like
it,
100 of them.
Is it sad?
And
is
they
it
are
sad?
All funny.
I didn't even though I said it in the episode, I didn't specifically say in my polls online to say that you had to refuse, you had to exclude 22 Jump Street, and no one mentioned 22 Jump Street.
By the way, 22 Jump Street is the best!
I hear that it's pretty good.
So, have you not watched it?
He's Dog, watching football.
Watching only football. I don't even have a quiz. I remember, right, I need to do a quiz for you. And I look, I sat down, I'm like, Wimbledon started. I went right back into watching sports. I'm not even pretty, like, if it wasn't for the fact that I have to take showers, right?
But do you really have to?
I think...
I don't know.
Because I work in the middle of the night.
I'm sure you could do some optimal timings.
I work in the middle of the night, so that not that many people will smell me, but...
I mean, if it's raining outside, you could just...
And the matches do end at some point. So I have, like, a 30-second window before finding another match to watch again.
With this week's oncoming attack of the summer season with Michael Bay's Transformers 4... I've started to think a lot about the career of Michael Bay, and Douglas,
Bad
is,
Boys 3.
Douglas is looking
Bad
around.
Boys in space.
Douglas is doing the Eric Cantona dance.
I made him watch some old Eric Cantona movies, and now he's.
I hate everything about this podcast. I hate everything about this podcast. You know what's still even more funny? Lego is still above your movie.
Yes, it still happens. Even after it's come
money.
Out on Blu-ray.
Yep.
And people don't just buy the Blu-ray and stay home. They keep going to the movies and watching Lego. I've been thinking about the career of Michael Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone likes to pinpoint The Rock and Bad Boys.
Goddamn right.
Right, as his best works.
Mm. I still think Bad Boys.
Do you have another nominee?
Armageddon,
yeah.
I guess.
So it is that swing. It's like those movies. It is The Rock, Armageddon, Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to just glom them together.
Oh.
I'm just going to, like, together, collectively.
And they're all in that, like, tight
you're like,
time frame.
You're like 4 years apart.
Yeah.
And then he lost. Because
it was the Michael Bay Bruckheimer partnership at that point.
And then he made The Island, and everybody went, is happening.
So, and I've done this before for filmmakers in the past, and I'm going to do it for Michael Bay because I guess he deserves it. Asking you guys to pick, save one movie and the rest are scratched from existence.
The Rock.
There's The Rock, there's Armageddon, and there's the collective Bad Boys.
There's no friggin' way you take The Rock over Armageddon. That doesn't make sense.
The Rock.
You'd know.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Wrong.
Nope. Nope.
So you take Armageddon?
If I have to take one.
You have to take one.
If I have to take one, taking Armageddon.
Wow, I never knew this could happen. I thought you would have defaulted to Bad Boys.
The Bad Boys doesn't have the world ending, does it? No. So it is not in my favorite genre of movies. Armageddon had everything. It had people shooting people on oil rigs. It had spaceships. It had racism.
It had Ben Affleck.
It had Bruce Willis peak powers. And it had stupid button clicking at the end of the movie.
But did it have a guy who said, "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die"?
I think you're talking of
The Rock.
I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Totally has that.
It doesn't have
that. Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Nick Cage. It's,
it's in the middle. It's in that piece in between.
Right,
where,
if you read between the lines.
Yeah, so
even though in The Rock, Nick Cage played music hipster before music hipster existed, telling us vinyl sounds better.
Listen. Vaporizing people out to sea is terrific. Popping green smoke, terrific. That shootout when he pushed his head through the hole, fantastic. There's no moon buggies, is there? There's no slingshotting around the moon. And, lest we forget, The Rock has three actors in it. Just three. Armageddon had like a million.
Including Peter Stormare, and he's always makes
Steve
movies
Buscemi
better.
Is in there.
He is good. I like him a lot
for some reason, right? He's a scientist, of course, right? Cause fuck it.
I hear your reasoning. Mm-hmm. I hear your argument. I'm still going with The fucking Rock.
No, you can't. I'm telling you, you can't.
Dump approved.
All right.
Dump approved.
All right. If we're doing this for the sake of Michael Bay, we have to do it based on the size of the explosion. Now, which movie has the biggest explosion? There's a nuke in a hole in Armageddon
that blows up an asteroid.
Now, if we're doing explosions, Douglas, which is what the man is known for.
Damien.
It has the biggest explosion and the most explosions.
Damien. They vaporized Sean Connery.
I understand.
Okay.
But the enormity of the explosion.
Vaporize. Explosion. I'm now lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for a special outfit. Guaranteed personality. I wasn't born so much as I fell out. Nobody seemed to notice me.
Midge, are you all right?
No, I'm not. This combination of electrical plus chemical cyanide is dumb. We're going in the wrong direction. You're the only one that knows how to use this garbage, and of course you're never here. And finally, I think I'm getting brain fried.
Okay, Midge, I'm going to make it up to you. Let's just pause, put that down. Let's just take a step back. No, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Take a step forward. Now, take a step back. Step forward. And sit back. And then we're cha-ching.
Will you stop it? I'm serious.
Okay, I'm serious too. All right, let's charge this baby up. Give me everything you got. Come on.
So tying in with Tim's Vermeer, I wanted us to talk about smart people. And more specifically, smart people within movies. 90% of the reason that Damien and I, who are the only people sitting here, likes Tim's Vermeer is that we find Tim Jensen amazingly interesting because he is intelligent.
Find smart people.
He's kind
smart.
Of smart. So let's talk about smart people.
My list is going to ruin all of you.
Oh no.
You guys.
Is it Dennis Bergkamp?
Nope.
Is it
you guys done fucked up?
Nope.
Alright, Douglas.
Nope. Would you like to start it off then?
No, I want to hear. Listen, when I'm done, there'll be nothing left to say. So I want Douglas to bring it.
I'm so happy. So first of all, I started off slow, right? And it's something stupid. It's something we all, I think, on some level love. So Doc Brown.
He was my example.
Exactly. He was your example. He is my number five. And only because, I love that movie way too much. I know it's the obvious pick, but I'll go with that.
Can we spoil that now?
Spoil what?
Doc Brown. Can we spoil that? No, leave it alone. I don't want to say it because, whatever. I know Damon doesn't care.
I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah.
I just remember somebody. I can't remember her name. She was famous in the 90s.
Jewel.
Shakira.
No, that was in the 90s.
Hate all of you.
Didn't she do Genie in a Bottle? Wasn't that her first song?
That would be the one named Christina Aguilera.
Ah. They all look the same to me. All Mexicans.
Except for the fact that Aguilera isn't. So, yeah.
Mm. So my number five, once again, like you, Douglas, yeah. I'm starting off easy.
Yeah.
I'm going off with some... And one of the things that I wanted to focus on was that while Tim Jennison is our thesis for to make things sound smart as I'm talking, I didn't really want to shoehorn smart into being book intelligent. Or
book intelligence,
because that's how smart people would have said it.
Oh,
I'm
you.
A computer scientist, people. Computers.
God damn it.
As this podcast keeps going, I get worse. You know, like, they stay the same age, I just get worse. My number five, I'm really starting off easy here, because, as I said, even though Tim Jennison is the example we're going off of from Tim's Vermeer, I didn't want to... make it just about like the higher educated people, the people who are solving the Higgs boson and all of those kinds of issues, but just people who are generally intelligent in other ways. And one person who is very, very well known for being intelligent, and more so it comes out in his ability to apply what he knows in the world. He's the only guy who comes on TV to
congratulations
the global crisis. I brought up Sherlock Holmes because it's Sherlock Holmes, and I'm specifically citing Guy Ritchie's Sherlock Holmes.
Guy Ritchie,
only because I can. I do like Robert Downey Jr. And while that second movie is bullshit,
that's the wrong Sherlock Holmes song.
Bullshit is a strong term, but
there's a better Sherlock.
So, Mr. Mic dropping.
That is Kat Dennings.
Yes, it is.
She played a scientist.
No, she did not.
She did.
Social scientist.
She played a scientist.
She played an intern.
She played an intern. In the Thor movies.
She played somebody who
and
runs around.
And she's my number five.
What the fuck? Anyway, apparently,
are we just assuming that he's really leaving it all to number one? And he's just messing with us until then?
I know that mine gets, like, progressively better. But anyway, so we actually have spoken about this movie already in this podcast. It is Michael Bay. Not him, he's not the smart one. So, in The Rock. There are a bunch of smart people, but the smartest of them all is one, Nick Cage.
Especially when a man's foot is twitchy.
Exactly.
And he can't quite handle it.
Also known as Stanley Goodspeed. And I don't even need to explain this. Nick Cage.
Have you ever listened to The Rocket Man?
Awesome.
Because you're it. I love that movie too much.
Oh, I think
we should watch The Rock tonight.
Let's do it.
So my number four, continuing about smart people, there was this movie that I really, really love, and I know you guys love it too, and
do
it is... Yes, you do. You do. And if you don't, you're lying to me just to fuck with me. It's David Fincher's Zodiac. And I want to pay close attention to Robert Graysmith, the character played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is the man who figures out the Zodiac killers. The Zodiac killings. To be the killer. And what... Did I tell you about the longer this goes, the worse I get?
No. For those of you that are listening,
there are lots of edits. Lots of edits.
Well, let's forget the edits. You may think, oh, it's okay. Andrew's just been drinking a bit too much, and he keeps going on as we know he hasn't. There are no drinks. We have implemented the dry podcast rule. And it still hasn't helped him. So.
I think alcohol actually helps. You know, it does that thing that alcohol does. What does alcohol do?
Who is he talking to?
So Robert Graysmith. And what I love about him is kind of the same thing that I attach myself to with Tim Jennison, is that I not just seeing him as an intelligent person who has all of these credentials behind him, but I see him as a problem solver, a puzzle solver. And throughout the movie, repeatedly, you see him with the puzzles, decoding messages. You see him doing basically everything a great police officer does, that we kind of don't see the police doing in this movie. And it's kind of a feature of all police movies where the cops aren't the heroes. They look kind of dumb. I love it. It's a great movie. And this guy, he's the right kind of smart. He's the guy who's quiet in the side of the room and then goes, boom, I solved the problem.
Boom, shake, shake, shake the room.
Mike Myers. Plays Dr. Evil.
Oh, is that where that comes
He's a doctor.
You know what's great too? Is that we're laughing like ass, a bunch of assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is gonna make zero sense to anybody listening because they're like, what's happening? But Damien, you're an idiot.
Yes, I am.
Showing me pictures of things and then saying other things.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god.
Yep. Okay. I have three more.
Alright.
So get ready.
So,
it's not going
speaking
to be
of The Rock, right? The Rock had another actor in there. And his name is one Sean Connery. But, Sean Connery, being an actor, he actually acts in other movies. From time to time. And every once in a while, he, you know, after a little while, he got a little pudgy. Got a little old and he couldn't play James Bond anymore. So he said...
That didn't stop him.
But after a while it did. And he unfortunately had to settle for playing a father at some point. A father that rides on the backs of motorcycles and shoots down aeroplanes with ducks.
Really, ducks?
Yes, with ducks. Or maybe pigeons. I don't remember.
Or like seagulls or something.
It's maybe seagulls, yes.
Wah, wah.
And, and he goes by the name of Jones. Doctor, another doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Jones Sr.
We call the dog, isn't it? I'm Mike Jones.
And this, if for those of you who haven't quite picked up yet, would be Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's the movie that this is from. And again, Doctor.
Of course.
He is pretty smart. And bones the same girl that his son does. Which is, you know, they're both, you know, he is his father, but he is also his Eskimo brother. Oh, how the relationship is muddled. Alright, I'll stop there. Your turn.
So my number three. Continuing down my line of people who are massively intelligent, but this one I kind of find in a very Damien-esque fashion of intelligence. In that it's not just that he comes off as smart, it's that he knows a lot about the world. And he never really flaunts it over people, that's unlike Damien. And I kind of love it, and I guess it helps that it's brought to life by one of my favorite actors, being Albert Brooks. And this is a character, Aaron Altman, from the film Broadcast News, who is constantly overlooked because while he is massively intelligent and great at bringing any story to life and making sure you know every fact you need to know to make an informed decision about what we're talking about in the news, he doesn't look that good, and he doesn't have that great presence on screen. Very much like Damien.
Yeah.
Right?
Terrible screen presence.
That's why it's still a podcast. So you can get your confidence back to be all very much like you really are.
I'm trying.
Douglas is trying to kill himself now, as I mentioned, Broadcast News.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched that movie yet?
No. Guys, are you ready? For number three.
That is not a movie.
They made a couple of movies. Number three is Dr. Zoidberg.
Once again, he got credentials.
He said doctor.
He's smart.
I'd like to ask, out of curiosity, how much of a percentage is this list based on the fact that there was football on today?
I'd say 99%, but I'd be lying. It's actually 100%. I was going to do a serious list and I went, no.
There's football on.
No. I'm going to do the dumbest list imaginable. And we're 3 in. And
there's two more to go. I still have to hear two more. Okay. So for you guys listening to the podcast, you're wondering why Damien hasn't given his list yet. He just didn't come up with one. Yeah. He's here just listening very interestingly to Douglas and I.
I have one legit pick. And then I'm going to ruin the podcast forever.
Okay. So, who among us has watched Rain Man?
Oh, wait, I haven't.
I've watched some of it. Now...
I've seen all of it.
So
Tom Cruise is a scientist.
Dustin Hoffman. Oh my god. So Dustin Hoffman plays a savant by the name of Walter Babbitt. You may think I'm trying to tell you that Walter Babbitt is smart. You know who's smart? Tom motherfucking Cruise.
For exploiting
Charlie
shit.
Babbitt. Because guess what? If you know how to count shit crazy, you go to Las Vegas. And you make crazy money.
Las Vegas.
And that is awesome. Smart man number two, Tom Cruise, playing Charlie Babbitt, exploiting his brother, his little brother, Dustin Hoffman.
So my number two, and I've used this kind of model for a lot of my picks on the list, deciding to take up detectives, because at the end of the day, detectives always come off smart because they solve the puzzle. Who killed it? Who took the money? Who did whatever? But this is a cyber detective, and I love her even more. It's Elizabeth Salander from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
I'm assuming this is Fincher's version.
I'm going to quote Fincher's version because let's be serious, guys. David Fincher killed it with that movie.
Yeah, he did.
And I don't know if I really want sequels, but if someone offered them to me, I might just take it.
There are three books.
I know there are, but you know.
Plus, I heard that somebody's writing a fourth or something.
I don't read books. They just ruin movies.
Why would you?
Since 1920.
Mr. White, you're number two.
Okay. This is my one legit pick. Peter Sellers is the boss, and Dr. Strangelove is one of the best movies that's ever had the pleasure of being able to film. It is incredible, and if you haven't watched it, listening to this podcast.
I love that movie.
Just stop. We don't want to hear. Why not listen to Slash Film, some other garbage film spot here.
Damien's opinions may or may not form the...
Douglas, don't worry. I don't know why Damien came here without a list.
Right. I don't know why he keeps talking.
Well, that's the thing, you're not talking.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm talking to myself. Why am I talking to myself? Because there's no response there.
No, that response is there.
Oh, okay. No, yes, you sound like an idiot.
Yes, anyways.
Oh, is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to kill the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Because I am now at number one.
All right.
I'm about to kill the podcast. I'm just letting you guys know. Mm-hmm. So, how many of us know who Jiro Nishi is? No?
What the hell is he talking
about? Oh. So there's this guy by the name of Jiro Nishi. Actually, that's the character name. And the thing about him is he's an inventor of sorts. He invented this machine. Actually, he invented three classes of this machine. And... I'm sure for a long time they tried to figure out what should we call these machines. And in the end, I kind of want to be there in the room when they figure this out. You know, like the Coen brothers and the... It's for kids.
Yeah.
finally they came up with a name for it. And the third class, which is what we see him use at some point in this movie, is called the Trace Buster Buster Buster. Right? So
he's not that same.
But he is
also smart. Not smart.
He is
because smart. It did not work.
But so that motherfucker.
So you are wrong on both accounts.
Is the smartest of them all.
So my number one, before I get to it, I want to cheat and make this my number one, but this is really just a special mention because, like, he's unique. He's probably the best, but he's not really my number one. I'll tell you what my number one is in a minute. But my number one, if you guys need a hint, right? Is a space traveling multidimensional
scientist. Cheating.
But my real number one
took it from me.
Oh, is that gonna be number one?
I have something so.
My real
so
number one is not Rick from Rick and Morty. My real number one is like a sincere pick, and it's the man Will Hunting from Good Will Hunting, because I mean he solves math problems on chalkboards. Like, I'd like to imagine a world where he can't solve it unless it's on a chalkboard.
How'd you like them apples?
How'd you like them? I love Good Will Hunting. I still like that movie.
That movie's awesome.
It's a great movie.
Come on.
And no matter how cheesy it can get at times, I still am down with the Matt Damon in that movie. Especially when he says, "How'd you like them apples?"
No. How'd you like them apples? One
more. I think it'd be funny if we went into a Boston accent off.
I know, right?
And the two people listening just go, "We're done. We
exactly.
can't deal with them anymore."
Essentially, what this becomes at that point is a poor recreation of the trip.
Damien is smiling. We are worried
Damien,
for our safety.
Damien thinks he's about to blow our minds. Let's see.
So, Damien, you're number one.
When you think about scientists.
I think about Carmen Electro in James Bond.
All right.
Ghostbusters.
It was Carmen Electro, right?
It was Carmen Electro.
And she played Christmas was her name, right?
No, it wasn't Carmen Electro.
Whoever.
It was Denise Richards.
Denise Richards.
Same difference. There is a blonde. What is dumber than her?
Than Denise Richards.
And she came in a lot of dumb movies in the 90s.
And she, Lisa Kudrow,
she played
a
scientist.
Doctor.
She played a scientist in a horror movie.
I'm lost.
None of you know. I wanted to guess.
You want to guess the actor or the movie?
The actress.
A blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde
who 90s
a scientist
horror movie.
In a 90s horror.
In a
90s
horror movie.
Alicia Silverstone.
That's a good guess. That's a real
90s
good
blonde actress. Dumb movies.
Nope.
Why not?
She's even dumber than her.
I'm not even going to try it. Paris
is
Hilton? I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
She's an actress. What are you talking movie. About? Paris Hilton?
Paris Hilton?
I'm going to kick you in the face. Alright, she was in Clueless.
I said Alicia Silverstone.
You know what's funny is
that
I almost said her name and then I was just like, that would be stupid. Mm-hmm. It's Brittany, what's her face?
God damn. Brittany Murphy.
Was
yeah.
she in Clueless?
Yeah, she was. She
yes.
was the friend
mm-hmm.
that needed a makeover.
Yeah, I just remember the black friend who was like with the dreadlocks.
Stacey Dash? No.
And then.
There was, that's her name, Stacey
yeah.
Dash.
Wait, let me see if Stacey Dash played a scientist. Because that one would be better.
So,
what movie was this anyway?
I'm never going to
tell you. I know exactly what movie this is. It starred a pretty big name, and it was two pretty big names. It was about a guy who was a doctor and a psychologist. And he worked at the
Girl Interrupted?
No,
she would have been one of the girls in
Nick,
the movie.
Nick Nolte was in it as well as a father who was crazy and was in Neverwhere or something like that is what it's called. Right? No? What?
Neverwhere?
Something like that. some bullshit. Because the father never was.
See,
never.
I knew I was close. God damn it! I know I've seen that movie.
I'm not proud of that fact, but I have watched bullshit. All of that movie.
Never was.
Is a travesty.
Aaron Eckhart is
who was Aaron Eckhart? That's who the doctor
Ian
was.
Ian McKellen.
No.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yes, that's right. He's like the friend writer. Yes.
Is.
Have you watched this movie, David?
Horrible. Yes. That's what I'm calling it.
And
horrible.
He has William Hurt.
That's yes. A drama, fantasy, and mystery. This is a straight up horror
and
movie.
And guess who else is in this movie? Bill Bellamy.
Remember
who is
that?
A stalwart of acting. Bill Bellamy.
Bill Bellamy?
Bill Bellamy.
Wait, as in MTV VJ Bill Bellamy?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
My tablet is dead.
Oh my goodness.
It's a joke, sir.
The last dumb thing I ever did. You know, we're not even toying on again.
I remember when
Douglas, there's a new Nexus 9 coming up.
I know, made by HTC. I saw that.
I
cannot wait.
I want it.
So thank you so much for listening. And good night.
I can't wait for it.
In the days of 39, oh please leave the window open for decoy lovers, dead and gone, bullet holes in the cemetery wall, the black car of the body of the beer, vanished bombs on the Costa Rica are dying in on the PC 10 tonight. Vanished bombs, you have to get a infinito, you have to quit, oh my god, a thong. Infinito, just a quitter, oh my god, it's all Spanish weeks in my disco casino. The freedom fighters died up on the hill. They sang the red flag, they wore the black one. After they died, it was Mockingbird Hill. Back from the buses, went up in flashes. The Irish too, drenched in blood. Spanish bombs shattered the hotels. I send you either those.